to have. Welcome to Bhaktisanga conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji for enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 12th chapter and 21 verse onwards. Before going to Prabhuji, I would like to give to Tiffany Mataji for giving brief introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji. Wish you very, very, very Krishna conscious happy birthday. It was so wonderful services, Mataji. Please pray that you serve Guru and Gauranga like this and many more services, Mataji. So wonderful, Mataji.
Hare Krishna to you. Hare Krishna to you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. May you have no more birth, may you have no more birth. May the dear Krishna bless you, may the dear Radha bless you.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, happy birthday.
Wish you a very conscious birthday, dear Mataji.
Happy Krishna conscious birthday.
Happy Krishna conscious birthday.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories, all glories, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Today, we have with us His Grace, Dr. Keshavananda Prabhuji. Prabhuji was a professional doctor for many years, and he is now a practicing monk. For the last 20 years, he has conducted extensive research and authored books in the field of science and spirituality. He feels the rift between science and spirituality must disappear to bring peace to the world. If spirituality is a superstition and myth, science is materialistic and atheistic. A new approach to life is needed today that can bring the best of both. Science must re-embrace spirituality and be humble to admit its defects, flaws, and ignorance. And spirituality must base itself on sound, scientific, and rational ideas. Keshavananda Prabhuji has studied both Vedic and Western philosophy. Besides learning Sanskrit, he has also learned Bengali, Gujarati, Marathi, and Kannada to know about other traditions. His persistent endeavor in the field of science and spirituality has enabled him to develop seminars on diverse topics like science in the Vedas, mind and machines, science fails to explain life, consciousness, and beyond, etc. That he has presented all of these seminars in various colleges in India, Europe, and in America. Under the guidance of his spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami, he has also started a Gurukul, a traditional system of Vedic education in Punjab, India, where children learn the ancient Vedic culture and values. Besides this, he has started a farm community. The community has a traditional way of living with mud huts and thatch roofs, with cows, and of course, farming. The communities will set a model for the world to show how to live a life based on the simple principle of simple living and high thinking. Hare Krishna, welcome to the call, Prabhuji. So wonderful to have your association again.
Hare Krishna, anybody can read the verse or what?
Sure, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu Dhanottanam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Sri Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Please take over the call, Prabhu.
Yeah, anybody can read the verse.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
Yes, Prabhuji. Sorry for the delay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, Text 21. Khalvidammad ascharyam yadraja prakritistava vasudevi bhagavati sattvatmani dridamati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Vritrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. Purport. King Indra wondered how Vritrasura could have been elevated to the position of an exalted devotee. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was initiated by Narada Muni, and therefore it was possible for him to become a great devotee, although he was born in a family of demons. For Vritrasura, however, Indra could not detect such causes. Therefore, he was struck with wonder that Vritrasura was such an exalted devotee that he could fix his mind without deviation upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. We read the verse and the translation.
Can you just give me a minute? Just a minute. I'll just begin. So this is, we are here 6:11, and what's the verse, 21? 6:11, 21?
12:21, Prabhu.
6:12:21, sorry. Yeah, this is everything. So, this verse is spoken by Vritrasura, and as you all know, this verse is spoken by Indra to Vritrasura. And Indra is really surprised, Mahat Ashcharyam. The point of this verse is this word, Mahat Ashcharyam. Ashcharyam. He's really surprised. And what's the cause of his surprise? Now, that will surprise you, what's the cause of his surprise. Because before I get into this, I have to tell you something, give you some preamble to this, why Indra is surprised. He's not just surprised, it's not Ashcharyam, it is Mahad Ashcharyam. Mahad means great wonder. Now, why he's surprised is because, you see, the point is, Vritrasura is a demon, by the way. Of course, he's a demon, but the point is, Prahlad was also a demon. He was in a demon family. Prahlad was in a demon family, but he was not a demon, by the way. Bali Maharaj, he was in a demon family, but he was not a demon. By their mind and by their nature, they were actually sattvic. They were very pure right from the beginning. Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan. Prahlad is a Mahajan. So they were in a demon family. Vibhishan is born in a demon family, Rakshas, Kul. He's not even Asur, he's Rakshas. They're like special category of Asur. Rakshas are special category of Asur who drink blood. So, so the idea is, they're born in demon family, but Vritrasura is a demon, by the way. Vritrasura is a demon. Now that's what is surprising, because he's saying demon, yad rajaha prakarte swabhavaha. He's having a demoniac nature. Rajaha means mode of passion. Rajaha can also mean here demoniac, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the three modes of material nature. He says demoniac people, they carry the nature of mode of goodness and mode of passion and mode of ignorance. Demigods, they carry the nature of daivam satvastaha. They carry the nature of mode of goodness. So what Indra is saying, well, Indra is saying by prakriti, by nature, by swabhava, you're a demon. You're not just born in a demon family. You're a demon by nature. And that's surprise. I mean to say, So how can we say he's a demon? What's the proof that he's a demon? He's having a demoniac nature. There's a simple proof. When Vritrasura appeared. I mean to say, Dhritarashtra was not born like a baby and then he grew up. He appeared simply from a yajna. And he had just one mission. He had just one mission, kill Indra. Now we know by from Srimad Bhagavatam, Indra Ari Vyakulam Loke Mridyanti Yuge Ete Cham Sakarapam Sa Krishnastu Bhagavan Sam. Krishna comes again and again. He comes, why he comes? He comes to Indrari, he comes to kill the enemies of Indra. That's his motive. And in the Purport, Prabhupada says, who is enemy of Indra? Enemy of Indra means enemy of demigods. Enemy of demigods means asura. Sura means demigods. Sur. Sur means demigods. Demigods and asura, if you add a behind sura, it means anti-sura. A means anti. So that's called asura. So Dhritarashtra is clearly a demon because he's made to kill Indra. So it's like that, no? A person is made to kill something. It's not that he acquired the nature to kill Indra by developing gradual enviousness. Just like Hiranyakashipu Hiranaksha. Hiranyakashipu Hiranaksha, they acquired enviousness slowly and steadily. Hiranyakashipu became more envious when Vishnu killed Hiranyaksha and his enviousness increased and then they got a mission. Yeah, okay, we'll kill Vishnu. But Dhritarashtra is a very, very different case altogether. Dhritarashtra has not acquired a demonic nature. He is having a demoniac nature. He's born for that. That's why Indra says, Raja Prakarte Svata. Raja Prakarte Stava. Yeah, Raja means by demoniac nature. You are a demon, you have a demoniac tendency. And what is the evidence for that? Number one evidence is he's born to kill Indra. Number two evidence is when he appeared, Bhagavatam describes he started eating live animals. He couldn't really stop himself. He actually couldn't stop himself. This is quite interesting. He tried to stop himself from eating meat, but he couldn't help because yad raja prakartes tava. His nature was devil. That's the point there. So he saw the birds in the sky and he caught hold of birds and put it in his mouth. That's what he did. He saw animals, he caught them, put it in his mouth. Finish. So what to do then? This is quite crazy, isn't it? So Indra is saying, such kind of person, how can he Raja Prakartestava Mahadasharyam Vasudeve Bhagavati? How can this kind of person fix his mind on Vasudeva? Bhagavati means God. How can he do that? That's this kind of nature, this kind of mind, this kind of mentality, it's impossible to fix your mind on God. It's not possible. And that's why he's saying, Khalo Idam. He's saying, indeed. He's, Indra has added two adjectives to Asharya, to wonder. One is Mahad and another is Khalo. Now, the word Mahad means great. So it's a great wonder. And as Indra, Indra is not a Kali, first of all. Indra, they are demigods, they are powerful demigods, and they know what is devotion, and they know what kind of mentality is required to do devotion. You need to do devotion with determination, you need more of goodness. So he's having great, great, wonder, great. And another is, I think, khalau. Khalau means indeed. So in Vedanta Sutra says, sarvam khalau idam brahma. That word comes. Khalau is a famous Vedantic and Upanishadic word. Kalo means indeed, suddenly. Suddenly, it's a great surprise. Now you might ask, why Indra is saying Kalau and Mahat? Why is so wondered? I mean to say, why he's simply astounded? Why he's astonished? Let me put it like that. He's, let us use that word. Why Indra is flabbergasted? You know. He's simply becoming mad. Why? Because you see, the point is, well, you know, you might argue anybody can come in devotion. Anybody can come in devotion. Krishna says, Mahavita, Striyo Vaishatatha Shudra, Tentiya Pranam Gatim. Even a person from lower caste, he can come in devotion. Even demons can come in devotion. Even animals can come in devotion. Nobody is barred from coming in devotion. Devotion is open to everybody. But Indra is not raising this point of entering devotion. That's not his point. He knows anybody can take devotion. There are qualifications for other processes. There are qualifications for jnana and yoga, but there's no qualification for bhakti. Anybody can enter. It's open for everybody. Krishna is inviting everybody to his process of devotion. Whether he's animal, whether he's a human, whether he's a half animal, half human, whether he's a demon, whether he's a good man, a bad man, demigod, he's a human, he's a Gandharva, he's Apsara, or he's Rakshasa, anybody. So why Vitrasura is so surprised if Vitrasura is doing devotion? The idea of Vitrasura is saying Dridhamati. He is surprised. He is saying, how can Vritrasura have Dridhamati? Dridhamati means firm devotion. Now, what do you mean by firm devotion? The idea is, if Indra would have met Vritrasura on a street, not on a battlefield, Indra is walking by and Vritrasura coming from the other side. And then Indra says, hi, Vritrasura. Vritrasura says, hi, hello, good morning. And Vritrasura is chanting Hare Krishna and speaking about God, Indra would not have been surprised. Okay, he's a demon, I know, but anyway, he's chanting Hare Krishna, fine. He's trying to do that, okay, that's so fine. But here the situation is very different. Vritrasura and Indra are on battlefield. Indra has just one goal in his life, to kill Vritrasura, that's it. Vritrasura has one goal in life, to kill Indra. Now, Vritrasura is in a very difficult position now. Why? Because Vritrasura's entire army has run away. We know from the history, from Srimad Bhagavatam itself. They're no longer there. Vritrasura kept on calling them. They just ran away. Vritrasura is alone. All demigods and the entire army of demigods is there. And in this situation, Vritrasura is absolutely not afraid. Rather, Vritrasura gives a sermon to Indra. He instructs Indra in pure devotion. And that we find in Vritrasura Stuti, isn't it? Which you might have heard. Aham hare tava padaika mulam dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuya. That Vritrasura Stuti is there. So in this kind of situation where Vritrasura is certain to die, and still he's not running away, he's not afraid, he's not saying, Indra, please excuse me. He's rather instructing Indra. He's saying to Indra, Indra, kill me now. Now kill me. Kill me. And by the way, he said, by the way, Indra, you see, you are the person who is unfortunate. I am going to die now, and I am remembering God, and I'm going to achieve Him. And you, Krishna actually cheated you, because he told you the way to kill me and to keep your heavenly planets with you. And if Krishna has real mercy on anybody, his mercy is he snatches away everything, but he gave you everything, and I don't think so that's real mercy on you. This kind of sermon in this situation, when one's life is at risk, this kind of Krishna consciousness is not to be seen. I mean to say, we can all chant Hare Krishna, we can all be happy, and we can all do devotion nicely, but when things go upside down and topsy-turvy, then there's a test. And that is why I was telling the other day, if you want to know who is a devotee? If you want to know who is a devotee with strong determination, Drida Matihi, this. Who is a devotee who is having strong determination? If you want to know yourself, whether I have strong devotion or not, well, there's just two signs, Madhvacharya says. Number one is Mukha Prasadat. Number two is Dharyarcha. These two signs are mentioned by Madhvacharya, who is one of our preceding acharyas of our Sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And he quotes from scriptures and he says, there's just two signs of a Vaishnava, real signs. There are other signs of a Vaishnava, but they can be confusing. You can be confused about yourself if you try to judge yourself through other signs, who is a Vaishnava. Other signs means Atilak, Akanti, if you're chanting rounds, if you're following regulative principles. These are not the signs we measure ourselves, we measure our determination in Krishna consciousness. No. They can be confusing, they can be dicey, they can be really, what do we say, mirrors and smoke, isn't it? They can be really reflection or they can be really abstract signs. But true, definite signs of strong devotion, determined devotion are Mukha Prasada and Dharya. What are these? Mukha Prasada means, number first, is mouth. Mouth. Mukh means mouth, prasadat means mercy. So what is the mercy of a devotee through his mouth? His words. So mukha prasadat means the words of the saint. What he speaks, his speech, his instructions. So you can easily judge a person, a devotee, his determination by talking to him and seeing what he's speaking, what kind of words he is using. What is the force behind those words? Like Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada spoke simple Krishna consciousness. He spoke simple but foundational Krishna consciousness. It was nothing so complex. It was minds which appear simple to us. You're not this body, cycle of birth, that he's old. He's harping on these points again and again. But anybody can who hears him, they can know he's a pure devotee because the words had force in them. That's Mukha Prasada. Other way to judge a devotee's determination is with Rasu's case. Dharyat. Dharyat means the determination which a devotee carries in a situation which is extremely disturbing. A situation which demands the life of that person. A situation which demands a surrender of that person to the enemy. That is a very stressful situation, by the way. So in this kind of situation, very few people can remain determined. Most of us will run away or try to avoid the situations or we'll get disturbed or something or the other will happen. But Vritrasura, nothing happening. So Vritrasura is in the second situation and in this situation, he's maintaining his Krishna consciousness. And that's what Indra says, Vasudeva Bhagavati Sattva Atmani. He uses the word Sattva for Krishna. He uses the word Rajaha for Vritrasura. Raja means demoniac quality. Sattva means goodness, pure mode of goodness. So if you want to do a strong, determined devotion to Krishna, you should be in pure mode of goodness. Your nature should be in pure mode of goodness, not the lifestyle in mode of goodness. That's not what he's talking about. People can have a lifestyle in mode of goodness, but they can have their demoniac nature with them. But Vritrasura's nature is in mode of passion and ignorance. His nature is demoniac and his lifestyle is also demoniac. But if you want to attain Krishna, your nature and lifestyle both should be mode of goodness. But Vritrasura is entirely, he's asura, anti-sura. His very nature is like that. So, and that's why for him to have determination in Vishnu, that's very difficult. That's impossible. You know, so come on. How this is happening, I don't know. Now, what is there in this for us, this verse? For us is, if you want to enter devotion, anybody can enter devotion, doors are open. But if you want to really do a devotion seriously, tibrena bhakti yogena vesayatmaka buddhi, with focus and determination, then you need to be in mode of goodness. Your actions, words, and mind. All three should be mode of goodness: action, words, and mind. Now the mind in mode of goodness, that's most important, because the mind means the nature of that person. The mind means the prakriti, what he says. Pavitra Surat is entirely opposite. His mind is demoniac, his actions are demoniac. His words are demoniac to a certain extent. He wanted to send Raka Mahal Kili. But nevertheless, he's devotee. That's why Indra is so surprised. For us, this is not going to happen, by the way. We need to be in mode of goodness both all in all three, action, words, and mind, and then we can do a determined devotion. Krishna says, when you are out of mode of ignorance and passion, your sins are destroyed. When you accumulate past activities, that is, you have entered mode of goodness, then dridavrataha, then you can do devotion determined way. Otherwise, if your nature is demoniac, your reflexes of lust, anger, greed, will keep you pulling here and there, and you'll not be able to do determined devotion. And that's a problem of everybody. I mean, there's so many devotees, they ask, Prabhuji, we keep on falling down, our mind gets disturbed again and again, what to do? Well, there's a simple answer. You bring your actions, words, and mind in mode of goodness. And that's it. Now, what do you mean by bringing actions and mind in mode of goodness? Please refer to 16th chapter, Divine and Demonian. Krishna says, the words in mode of goodness is satyam, priyam, hitam, vakyam, anudvega karam. Those words which are truthful, which are pleasing, which are beneficial, which are not agitating to others, these are words in mode of goodness. Word truthful means those words which carry Krishna. Krishna is supreme truth. Pleasing to devotees and Krishna. Beneficial to devotees and Krishna, and not agitating to others. This is mode of goodness words. Similarly, mode of goodness actions are there, respecting your seniors, Krishna says, respecting your guru, respecting their words, respecting their instructions and following them, prostrating in front of them, those are actions, mode of goodness. And mind in mode of goodness is santushtihi, keep your mind satisfied, keep your mind always in remembrance of God. So these are in mode of goodness. We have to practice this, then our devotion will become determined and continuous and fast and focused. Otherwise, it will not happen. Otherwise, if you simply desire, oh Krishna, please have mercy, let my devotion be strong, that's not how we do. We pray to Krishna for mercy, but the point is, before we pray, we do our homework. That's what Prabhupada says. First deserve, then desire. So prayer is a desire, but then you have to deserve it. You have to do something. You pray, Krishna, please make my devotion determined. Okay, Krishna says, well, I'll do that, but what you did? Well, I try to keep my mind, words, and body in mode of goodness. Please refer to Bhagavad Gita. Actions and words and mind in mode of goodness. There is 16 chapters there. And that's what surprised him. Vritrasura is not in mode of goodness. Neither is action, neither is words, most of it, and neither is mind. Well, he can do determined devotion. Now, how is it possible? That's a question. If Indra is surprised, there has to be a real surprise, isn't it? Indra is having a lot of experience. His life is long. He had seen so many cases, isn't it? So, it's not possible. Devotion is possible, but determined devotion is not possible in such kind of body and such kind of consciousness. So, the question is, how can Vritrasura perform a determined devotion in such kind of consciousness, such kind of mentality? Now, there are two points in this. One point is, how this is happening is, this is a special case where Krishna is showing the power of devotion. Devotion is so powerful, even if your nature is demoniac. If you're sincere in devotion, devotion will lead you to fix your mind on Krishna. That generally doesn't happen. This is exception with Vritrasura case. through which Krishna is showing us, is actually showing us the power of devotion. Through this case, another point to understand here is, before that, one other point. The idea is nothing can stop devotion. Ahetuki apratihata. There is nothing in this material world which can stop devotion. There's just one thing which can stop our devotion, that is we are ourselves. That's all. If anybody can destroy our devotion, that is we, ourselves. If anybody can hamper our devotion, hinder our devotion, that is we, ourselves. We are our own enemies. We have to realize this today or tomorrow. And once you realize this, that is the beginning of spiritual life. That is the beginning of a spiritual life. So otherwise nothing can stop devotion. Even a demonic nature cannot stop devotion. It can, by the way, reduce the speed of devotion, but it cannot stop. The current and the flow of Ganges cannot be stopped until it reaches the ocean. Similarly, the flow of devotion cannot be stopped until unless it reaches the lotus feet of Krishna. It can become slow. It can become sluggish, complicated, but cannot stop. And unless we want it to stop. And unless we corrupt our own will. And that's a beautiful, powerful point by Pritra Surastuti. Another point here by Pritra Surs, this whole episode here, what's happening here is, but this the surprise of Indra. Another point in this verse, very important, is that, I mean, to say a philosophical point, another philosophical point is that Vritrasur, by nature, is demoniac, but still he can be determined in devotion. What do we understand by this? We understand by this is that actually, so that doesn't mean that we keep a demoniac nature with ourselves. We must try to come in mode of goodness, otherwise we'll not be able to do devotion. But the idea is really it's not the nature which decides determination in devotion, because Vritrasura can do. It's not the nature. It is basically your will power, your will inside, your free will, which decides whether your devotion will become strong or weak. You might be number one useless and number one contaminated person, the most contaminated person in the entire world, but your will, free will is there. I will devotion, which is called sankalpa. Then you will advance leaps and bounds. And that free will actually change your nature in due course of time. So that's the criteria to actually make your devotion determined. You should in your heart have this conclusion, free will, I am going to do devotion. I'm going to serve Krishna no matter what happens. And then Krishna says, api chet sudur acharo bhaste mamananya bhag sadureva samantave samyam viste. So Krishna says, you will become dharmatma in due course. So the whole question, another powerful point by this whole verse is, whole question is of free will. Don't corrupt your free will. Sometimes it can, fall down means corruption of free will. Nobody can fall down without corrupting his own free will. It doesn't happen, I fell down. I didn't want, but, you know, I was a victim. No, there's no victim. You want, that's why it happened. And that's the most precious thing with us, our free will. That's what Krishna gave us, free will. Living, that's the difference between living beings and dead person, dead objects. Dead objects, they don't have free will. We have free will. That's a beautiful gift of God. And that we have to preserve. That we don't have to let it contaminate. Our mind can become contaminated. Our intelligence can become contaminated. Our actions can become polluted and corrupted. Our words can become blasphemous and malicious. But our will should be pure, uncorrupted, and tally in service of God. Then nothing can stop you. Nothing. Do everything to maintain your will. Do everything to not let your will corrupt it. Everything you do should, you should always analyze within yourself whether what I'm doing is for Krishna and not for our own agendas. We should always try to analyze this, meditate on this fact, and dive in deep within yourself to say, okay, what I'm doing is really for the pleasure of Krishna or something else, or it's mixed. Then we can advance nicely. And these are the 2 points from this verse, very powerful philosophical points and even practical takeaway points from. Okay, Hare Krishna, I'll stop here. Is there any questions there? I just want to entertain some questions before it becomes a long call. Hare Krishna. Organizer is not there.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a wonderful class. It was very instructive. So, devotees, please go ahead with your questions. Yes, Anuradha Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhuji, as you were speaking on the class, I was just thinking, when we go out and preach, how do we know that we are walking? How do we make sure that we are walking our talk? We might be saying so many things to others, but how do I make sure that I'm also following what I'm saying? So can you please speak on that problem?
Well, when we are preaching, we are not telling others. We are telling ourselves first. Preaching is self-motivation. Preaching is self-actualization. You're counseling yourself. If we think in preaching, if we only think we are preaching to others, that's the wrong way to preach. We are speaking something which is beneficial for them and us both. And that way preaching will help us to remind us we also have to follow. And then we'll be forced to follow. And when you follow, then you'll preach more strongly. And when you preach, then you will be forced to follow. So it goes both way around. So, but the point is, we have to preach in that consciousness. You should not preach, okay, we are helping them to grow. No, you're helping yourself to grow. Along with that, others are benefited. And if we keep this consciousness, then we will preach good stuff. Otherwise, we'll be preaching some kind of nonsense stories, some entertainment, some useless points. We'll not even be able to give proper message to you. That's the whole idea. Is it okay?
Yes, perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Sukkar Krishna Prabhu Ji. Krishna, please go ahead, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Keshavanand Prabhu. Nice to always see you and see you so much. Walk the talk. Now, Prabhu, what you're telling is a very good point. That so when we are preaching, we find a lot of people who may pose as a devotee, but they have some asuri gun. So is it okay to preach to everyone, or we have to see what are they? Because we don't know what is their intention, because there are so many people are posing like devotees, but they are maybe from some other religion or they are from something. So should we be cautious?
No, we should preach to everyone. I mean, by Prahlad Maharaj, he was preaching to his demoniac friends. I mean, we give the message. Who takes, who doesn't take, we have no idea. But here's a message from spiritual world, and this is for you, all of you. Of course, if you are with people with different religious denomination, like Christians, we have to preach according to the situation to explain them. Maybe we have to give examples from Bible, but we don't change the message. The content and the spirit of the message is same. So it is said in Bible, the law and the spirit of law. The spirit of the law should always be the same. The words and the spirit of the words. The words can change, but the spirit is same. So otherwise, there's no caution. We speak boldly. Srila Prabhupada always spoke boldly, whether it was a politician, it was Christian, it was Muslim. Prabhupada was just speaking and repeating the same message. He didn't care who is there, who is not there. He just spoke. This Krishna is speaking. Prabhupada spoke to scientists, you are mudas, you are rascals. Prabhupada said, well, Krishna is saying this, I'm not saying, because you don't know God, you're researching God. So that way we speak strongly, we speak the right message. It might be difficult for people to do who are interested in their own prestige, and it might be difficult for devotees to do who are interested to see to actually goody-goody in the eyes of everybody. That might be difficult, but then Prabhupada is not like that. He doesn't want to become good in eyes of people. He wants to make Krishna good in eyes of people. He wants to give his message. Many people will accept, many people will not accept. That's not our job to think about it. We can try, and then we'll just leave. That's all.
Prabhu, I got one more question. I got around 45 of my classmates. We are still in touch in the WhatsApp and all. So I try to give some Bhagavad Gita class. So when I send the invitation, we write a chartered accountant and cost and management accountant. So one fellow is telling, why you want to boost your doctor IIT and all? I said, it is not for boosting. It is for a person who is a new person coming. If they are a qualified person, if they see Dr. Keshavanand, Dr. this, so they will be curious to come. If you just put Keshavanand, there will be kuch kaam nahi hai, dhanda aise, they will not come. It is just to attract. But he is telling, you are boosting, you are very false ego. You want to say chartered accountant, cost management, Dubai, then what is this? I said, why are you getting envious of that? I am not trying to kisko dikhane ke liye nahi kar raha, because this is a general invitation. No, you are writing too much. You want to tell about Bhagavad Gita, no? Why you want to tell about your Puranam and all? So I was really not able to convince him.
You can tell him that even Krishna does this in Bhagavad Gita. It's a tradition. Krishna says, I am God, I am Shiva is under me, Brahma is under me, I am this, I am that. We are following, we are true disciples of Krishna. Krishna is why he's saying to preach. Otherwise, you will never know. You will never hear to Krishna if Krishna doesn't speak anything. Similarly, we are saying,
44 of my friends, they kept quiet. Only one person, Srinivasan, started shouting. I said, why are you envious of me? If you don't want, you don't see it. No, leave it. Just delete it. I'm not forcing you to come. So yeah, then I told our Prabhupada, actually, I told my Prabhupada has told that you should give, because generally they will know who is preaching. Then your Prabhupada is also wrong. I said, if you tell about Prabhupada, Krishna will not spare you. If you tell, you can tell about me, but about Prabhupada, if you tell something, you will get a bad reaction. I got so much irritated the way he told your guru also is wrong and all.
We should not actually, you see the point, these people, they are ignorant. So I think there's no point of, you should not become, I also face so many people like that. They say Prabhupada like this, but I know they don't know anything. So I handle it nicely and I try to answer them and I say, okay, fine, you know, we'll try to understand, read, that's okay. So that's fine.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Well, thank you, Mataji. Please go ahead with your questions, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your wonderful class and so much insights, Prabhuji. So the two questions I have, one is based on today's class, like how to strengthen the free will, like for to stay in devotion, because it looks like we could stay in doing devotion, doing japa and all the things for decades together, but when there is a test,
that's true.
Yeah, so how do we know, how to make sure that
Krishna says in Bhagavata, yagya dan tapa karma pavnani manishina. Krishna says, pavnani manishina. Prabhupada says, So even pure-hearted souls, they become pure, Bhavanani, by Yajna-Dantapa. So these three things are very powerful, and Krishna says, Krishna says, some people say there's no need to do it, but my opinion is you should do it. He makes it a point to actually say, some people say it's not required. And so in that bracket, all the devotees in our ISKCON also comes and say not required, maybe their ideas. But Krishna says, my opinion is you have to do Yajna-Dantapa. Now, what do we mean by Yajna-Dantapa in the context of devotion? It's not like religious, we all know it's not like some kind of Gita Parivar or something, Yajna, Swaha and all these things. Some mundane charity, no. The idea is Krishna is saying, see, the point is this is 16 chapter, I think. So isn't it? So 17 chapter, something, Yajna-Dantapa, something, the end. So there, Bhavad is ending. So that means this has to be understood in the light of devotion. Krishna has spoken everything about devotion in previous Bhagavad Gita. We can't interpret it on a mundane level. So Yajna here, so that means Krishna is assuming that he's addressing a devotee. He's not addressing a non-devotee at this point. The audience is a devotee. And that is a very important point which needs a separate lecture, that what verses, Krishna is speaking so many things in Bhagavad Gita, but what is the audience of those verses? So, and there's a lot of fight in the commentaries of acharyas. Okay, this, so just like we have that section, Siddha Pragya Se Ka Bhasha, you know, all this, how Siddha Pragya walks and how he sits. So in that, so many acharyas, like Nilkanth, he's saying, okay, these verses are Krishna's audience. Krishna is trying to address a devotee who is sadhak. But then some acharya says, no, Krishna is addressing a devotee who is already perfected in this verse. Because in those verse, Krishna gives the example, okay, Sita Prakasika Bhasha, Kim Prabhasheta, Kim Rajeta, Kim Asina. And how a devotee walks. In that example comes of a tortoise. Whenever there's a situation, tortoise takes out his hand, situation, he comes inside. So Manicharya says, oh, this verse doesn't seem to be referring to an advanced, a perfected devotee. This is referring to a sadhaka, maybe advanced sadhaka, because he knows how, when to engage, when not to engage. But a paramahamsa, he is like in his trance. He's like, it's very natural to him. He doesn't have to think. So you see, so Gita, whom Krishna is addressing, which verse, and there's a, and that major part of 50% of commentaries of acharyas are just, you know, struggling to understand this, and that will change the entire context of Bhagavad Gita, entire context what we are reading. So this verse, but when we come to this verse, all acharyas are unanimous that this verse, they are referring to a pretty advanced devotee. Mm-hmm. It's not just a normal devotee. Manishina, Pavanani Manishina, were pure-hearted souls. So, and that's our question. How do we make our free will strong? We are practicing devotion since a long time. And merely time also counts in your advancement. There's a factor. Okay, we have been practicing since 20 years. Okay, this devotee should be advanced if he's sincerely practicing for all practical reasons. Let's resume that, okay. So now what to do? Now this is answer, Yajna-Dantapa. So then this means Yajna-Dantapa has to be interpreted in a devotional perspective. It can't be, you know, mundane or yogic perspective, philosophical perspective. So Manicharya says, okay, what is Yajna? That means sacrifice in devotion. Every activity what we do there has to be an element of sacrifice. Now what do we mean by sacrifice? Sacrifice can be either through your mind, through your words, through your actions, as we know. Sacrifice means there should be a certain kind
selflessness.
So what kind of, what's that?
Selflessness.
We put it like that. Yeah, in every activity, there should be selflessness. The proportion of selflessness should be more. Mm-hmm. And to say, all actions are to a certain amount selfish. You know, you can't get rid of selfishness. But as far as possible, we have to increase our selflessness in every action. Yeah. Dan means charity. Now we have to see how much we are giving charity to devotees or even Krishna. What kind of charity we are giving? Krishna wants the best charity we can give to Krishna is our mind. That's what Krishna wants for us. Man mana bhagman. So give your mind to me. And so we have to think in activities how much our mind is involved there. I mean, our consciousness is involved. Otherwise, we become space out. Alertness. Dan. He wants alertness. And tapa means austerity. Tapa means pain. Voluntary suffering and pain. How much pain we are taking to serve Krishna. We have to measure that. So if we keep on increasing this day by day, yajna dan tapa, then our free will becomes strong. Otherwise, it will remain the same. It is going to remain the same. Nothing is going to happen. So we have to daily and monthly, we have to see whether my process is happening, but within the process, whether this is increasing or not. How much pain I am taking for Krishna. Whether my pain in the service of Krishna or whatever I am doing, whether it has increased or not. If it is increased, okay, good. Then you become more attached to him, isn't it? More the pain, the more the gain, isn't it? How much selfless I am in chanting and serving Vaishnavas. And by the way, you know, we can see ourselves clearly. It's nobody can hide, you know. We can hide from others, but we can know what's happening within us. So, and then we have to come up with practical solutions. Krishna consciousness is not just a wishful thinking. It isn't, devotees think like that. It's a wishful thinking. We'll pray and things will happen. Krishna will bless, but that's not going to happen, by the way. That's why all of our charity. Prabhupada said, first deserve and desire. So, what about that? So, it's not a wishful thinking. We have to come up with that. If we find our yajna dan tapa is less in Krishna consciousness due to whatever our circumstances, our physical conditions, our mental setup, whatever it is, we have to find a practical solution to increase. We can't just keep the same. That is our service to Krishna. If we can't find it, talk to some devotees, what to do, not to do, try to figure out or pray to Krishna. Krishna, give me a solution to fix it up. Please guide me. I will do the job, but please guide me. I'll not put a burden on you. You have to do things for me. No, that's not the point. And then we advance in Krishna consciousness. Our free will becomes very strong, very strong. Out of these three, tapa is very important. That's why the last is tapa. Yajna, dan, tapa. Because yajna, you know, selflessness, that can't be really measured. That's really subjective. Charity, how much mind, that's also subjective. Tapa is not subjective. That can be objective. How much sufferings, how much problems you are taking for Krishna. In preaching, there's a general tendency of devotees to run away from problems. It's very common. Something happens in congregation, just back it off. Chalo, we are holy. Things will happen. And people, so it's not the point of backing up off, it's the point of stepping ahead. Just like Vritrasura is saying, he's not backing at all. He's going ahead and he's saying, Indra, kill me. He's actually purposefully increasing problems for himself. He could have run away. Simple. Simple. Everybody ran away. Everybody ran away. And things would have been over. Why he stood there? And moreover, he's making Indra more angry. He's not just saying, that's fine. He's saying, Indra, you fool. And he knows what the end result. So that's the bottom line. And that we can measure in our life. Yeah. That we can measure. Srila Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada always said, reduce your eating, mating, sleeping, and depending. So you should try that. Prabhupada always said, don't be afraid. There'll be many problems in preaching. Don't be afraid. Go ahead. Depend on Krishna. So take them happily, gladly, and happily we're going to become strong. That's the point there. After saying all these things, I would like to mention on this forum, that please follow rules and regulations nicely for all of these people who are in forum, because I don't find congregation following rules and regulations, by the way. That's my personal opinion. Congregation don't do Mangal Aarti, you know, off and on, sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes okay, my headache, sometimes yes. No, you can't do this. You have to do Mangal Aarti. The very fact we are trying to stop our sleep and get up in the morning, that actually there's a scientific research done on it, by the way. It's a paper on this. What are the benefits of getting up early in the morning before sunrise? And number one benefit what they found when they did the census on their people, normal, ordinary people, bhogis also, they found that their willpower became very strong. That's what they found. So that we have to follow rules and regulations what Prabhupada gave, and that actually will make our free will very strong. So all these things, if you keep in mind, become strong. That's all.
Wonderful.
Okay, Navasai, what's your next question?
Yeah, this is amazing. I have not heard this explanation of Yajna, Dana, Tapa. Very nice. So the next question is based on your previous classes, probably about telling Indra is a pure devotee. I don't know if this already has been discussed, but we see that repeatedly Indra does so many things that is very controversial. And of course, we are very minute compared to Indra. But just for understanding, how can you explain how you told that he is a pure devotee?
See, the point is, I'll tell you one thing. The Zoom class, Indra can hear. If he wants. They are demigods, you know. Indra is presiding deity of our hands.
Right.
Agni is presiding deity of eyes. They can scan everything if they want. So we are hearing, we are talking, and they, and by the way, for us, Bhagavatam, there are like 18,000 verses with us. In heavenly planet, there is 1 lakh verses with them. Ajiva Goswami says, I think not 1 lakh, 1 crore verses of Bhagavatam they have. They have a bigger Bhagavatam. Just a small portion it's revealed to us. So if we are discussing Bhagavatam and we are knowing, you know, what's pure devotion, how can Indra not know what is pure devotion? Either he should be a madman, but a madman cannot be made a king of, you know, demigods. That doesn't set. Or he might be having Alzheimer's disease. You know, he forgets everything after reading. And that also, we don't have any record of that. So then the question comes, if he knows everything, why is he doing all these things? And another question is, if he's such a controversial figure, why Sukhdeva Goswami is putting him in Bhagavatam, which is a book for pure devotees? And why, I mean to say, why he is putting sand in the sweet rice? He should simply talk about, okay, praises of Ambarish, praises of Prithu, praises of, you know, Priyavrat, praises of Kunti, Vrajvasis. That's okay, fine, it's nice, you know, Bhagavatam. And that's okay, but why Indra? So there has to be some secret, otherwise these contradictions will not get solved. So that's why Madhvacharya, he speaks about this topic in his book Bhagavat Tatparinirna. He raises this topic. And he says that there are few demigods which are pure devotees. 5 of them, they are pure devotees. Not all demigods are pure devotees. So when Prabhupada says demigods are not pure devotees, he's not including these 5, by the way. And the 5 are Indra, Surya, and Chandra. Indra, Surya, Chandra, Shiva. Shiva and Parvati. And Ganesh, they are pure devotees. They are very powerful deities. Other demigods, they can be confused. Nalkober, Manigrib, Apsaras, Gandharvas, Kindarajas. They are all mixed. Now, when these, so then the question comes, okay, he's a pure devotee, then all these things, why this happened? So that's the point. Madhvacharya takes every incidence of Indra and explains why he's doing that. The bottom line of all incidences is just one, in one line, if you want to ask, what Indra is trying to do, Indra is trying to not protect his own image. And that proves he's a pure devotee, first of all. He knows that that will be controversial. He's not a foolish, you know, when we know, he also knows. I'll land up into a controversial thing. And I'll be like defamed. all by rishis and all these things. I mean to say, when Indra went to Ahilya, he did all those non-stupid things. He knew that people were criticizing, what the hell you are doing, you know, you are the demigods. But then the very fact he's doing controversial things disproves he's a pure devotee. If you look the other way around, any popular man, he will not do controversial things, isn't it? He will try not to do controversial things and try to do things in a very secret manner, so that even if he tries to do even a secret manner, but nobody knows. But this is publicized. This is like public, you know. Govardhan Leela is public. What more public you want? Front of everybody, he's like attacking Krishna and his devotees. What he's doing? Or Parijat flower, he's like in front of everybody, he's fighting, you know, with Krishna. So that nobody's going to do. Even a sensible man will not do. Indra is the most powerful person in this universe. He's the king of demigods, and he will never like to defame himself. But he did that. So that's why one fact which proves he is a pure devotee, that he's doing controversial things in public. If you look the other way around. And the another thing is, whatever he's doing, he's trying to uphold. But then the question comes, why he's doing it? Why at all he's doing it? Rather, he don't do, nothing happens. But he is doing because if he doesn't do this, whatever happens will contradict Vedic scriptures. Just like, for example, Prithu Maharaj, he stole the horse. Now, Prithu Maharaj wanted to do 100 yagyas. But then Vedas call Indra Shatakratu. Shata means 100, Kratu means yagya. Now, if Prithu managed to do 100 yagyas, he didn't realize that this will contradict Vedas. He didn't realize. He was trying to please Vishnu. But he forgot that if he does, then Vedas become false. Shatakratu is no longer Indra. Shatakratu is Prithu also. So Indra didn't want Vedas should actually become false, because his whole soul duty is to uphold Dharma. That's why they are Sura, by the way. And Dharma, the base of Dharma is Vedas. So by all means, he'll try to protect Vedas. So in that case, Madhvacharya explains he did that thing. Ahilya, Govind Raju, he writes in commentary why he was doing with Ahilya, whatever he's doing, you know. See, Ahilya, first of all, Ahilya's mind was corrupted. She knew what he was doing. Bhagavad says she knew this is Indra in form of Gautam Muni. But nevertheless, she proceeded, because she thought, well, this is Indra. This is not an ordinary man. But Indra, he came because, Acharya says, because Indra detected a pride in the mind of Gautam. And the pride in the mind of Ahilya. Gautam Muni got a desire that I should get Indra's throne. It's not mentioned in the scripture. It's mentioned in the commentaries. Govind Raju, Ramanacharya's younger brother, he mentions this. So a slight, but of course, in Rishi's mind, even a slight is, you know, magnified. It's not like us, you know. We don't think, okay, fine. Indra could detect a slight material desires, which doesn't actually suit Gautam Muni. He should be absolutely pure, you know, in this position. So he came there to actually, and also he could detect slight lust in the mind of Ahilya. He could detect easily. So he wanted to make them fall down, because Veda says rishis are absolutely pure. That's the verdict of Vedas. If rishis are pure, and here they have slight, and they can, demigods and Indra can detect, nobody else can detect, then Vedas become false. And there are Gautam Muni and Ahilya, they are a public figure. They are not ordinary people. Millions of people are following them. So he wanted to make them fall down, so that Vedas become true. They are no longer rishis. Don't think them. That's why he did all these things. So we might think it's controversial, but it's not controversial. He has a reason behind everything. And Madhvacharya speaks everything in Bhagavatar. We Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't give all these reasons. We don't dodge into this. We say, okay, Indra is doing this, this, and this. He is, but we have a different strategy. We say, okay, we speak all these things to show, okay, fine, you know, don't surrender to demigods, surrender to Krishna and do pure devotion. So what Indra is doing, Sukhdev Goswami is giving two parallel instructions. One is external, one is internal. External is, okay, even demigods can be flipped at this and this. They'll do pure devotion. Internal is, Indra is a pure devotee. And whatever he's doing just to glorify Krishna. That's the whole thing there.
Beautiful, Prabhuji. I mean, we've not heard such commentaries and expositions of Indra. And this has always been a question that's again and again asked. And it's solving the controversies there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And I'm wondering if Indra can detect a small pride, then what can he do with us? And then with so much of nonsense in the mind.
Yeah, with us, they will not do anything. it is not worthy of Indra to do something with us here. So we are safe in that regard. It'll be fine if it does everything with us. But the point is, I don't think so. We have much hope here in the spiritual world, as far as present condition is concerned. If we don't do something critically with ourselves, nothing is going to happen. That's what I think. And that, I mean to say, any devotee who has spent 25 years, they easily know you. It's not a kid's time. Even new devotees, they might say it's easy, it's nice, it's, but it's not like that. You also know it's not like that. That's why you're asking these questions.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very valuable time and association. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. There is another Sukhar Prabhuji. I don't know if you have another question or you have you did not lower your hand. I also see somebody from iPhone has a raised hand too.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome here, Mataji. Please go ahead.
Here, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, we can hear you. Yeah,
okay.
Please go.
Prabhuji, main Hindi mein bolu, Krishna, aur aap, you can give answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Prabhuji, do Krishna, jaise aapne ek, abhi jaise Indra ka udhaan aapne diya, ki wo, he is pure duty, to wo slightly kuch bhi pride hum wo dekh sakte hain. To Prabhuji, like main myself ki bhakti mein aane ke baad mein bhi, like 15-20 year hone ke baad mein bhi, so many desires abhi bhi hain. Enjoy करने की so many things, तो फिर भगवान हमारे साथ मतलब क्या वो हमें करने के लिए क्या करेंगे?
There are so many desires in us even after 20 years. What has happened with us? Well, you see the point. Krishna will do something with you if you pray to him, do something with me. But we don't pray to him. The point is, he's ready to correct us, but we don't allow him to enter in our lives. Because if he really enters in our life, something will happen. Something is going to happen. Something weird will happen, which you will not be able to. What's happening? That will happen. So, but we don't allow him because we are afraid. We are really afraid. Really, frankly, I tell you. That's why Krishna says, Ma Sucha. Don't be afraid. Let me be in your life. And his way of thinking is very different from our way of thinking. That's for sure. So, if we want to get rid of desires, please pray to him. Krishna, please enter my life. Please change my life. I'm ready for anything. I'm ready for anything. Even if you give me miseries after miseries, I'm ready. But please reform me. Pray this with your heart, open yourself, and you will see Krishna will force you to become pure. But we don't do that, so nothing happens. So we keep on going, and we take another birth and another birth. And it's bad, it's a sad part of story, but that's reality. What can I do? I can't keep people in illusion. Oh, it's nice, everything will happen. But that's not like that. So we all have to become sincere, increase our endeavors and pray to Krishna. Please, Krishna, interfere in my life. Please come. That's all.
Second question, Prabhuji, thoda class se, matlab ye dus alag hai, ki Prabhuji, jaise hamari, you know, family, समटाइम फैमिली प्रोग्राम होते हैं, आप जानते हो अपने इंडिया में, जैसे जागरण वगैरह रखवाते हैं ये सब फैमिली में, तो वो हमें अटेंड करना चाहिए कि नहीं?
Yeah, there are so many functions in families which are non-devotional. Whether to attend or not, it's personal. I can't really comment on this because situations are different, families are different, person's devotion is at different level. If I give a solution, if the person is not able to do, then that's also not a solution. So it's a very personal thing. Either you cannot attend, or sometimes you can play cleverly, you can play diplomatically. You can sit and not be interested from within yourself and just show off. I think it's very personal thing. You have to see yourself.
Okay, Ravi. Thank you, Ravi.
Okay. We can't hear you, Mataji. You're muted.
Oh, sorry, Mataji. Hare Krishna. I see Gail Mataji has raised her hand. Shukra Prabhuji, you also raised hand. Do you?
Yeah, I raised hand.
Prabhuji, you have still more question, yeah. Prabhuji.
No, Mataji, go ahead.
Yeah, Gail Mataji can ask now.
Yes, just thank you. Thank you, everybody. I just wanted to follow up on your last response, saying that, you know, we need to invite change into our lives, invite Krishna to make something happen. Which means, you know, even if miseries come one after another, you know, no problem.
Yeah.
Yet, you're saying at the same time that Krishna says, do not fear. How is it that we are going to not fear and still invite miseries?
Well, there is a trick there. I mean, it's not something, I mean to say, I don't have a protocol for this. But the point is, if you want to have Krishna, then you will be able to tolerate anything. That's the bottom line. I want Krishna to be with you. I want that you should be pleased with me. Let what happens. If that's there in your heart, then miseries will no longer be miseries. We'll face everything. We can't lose Krishna because of miseries. No. We are ready. That kind of conviction is required to actually go forward in devotion. If that's not happening, then we have to let it happen. I mean to say, if we are having fear, then okay, then we still need good association. We need association of good devotees, and we need real conviction in our heart. We need a desire to have Krishna, and then things. I mean to see, you see in movies, all movies are like that, isn't it? A boy loves a girl, and then girl is not. You know, there are so many obstacles between like meeting them, and the boy is after the girl, and he's like facing so many hindrances one after another, but he doesn't care. He just wants to meet and have that girl. Now that thing we want, if that thing comes, that's what Rupa Goswami says, lalyam. That's what Rupa, and that devotee cannot tolerate losing Krishna. And he says to devotee thinks in his mind, to hell with me, you know, to hell with my life, to hell with my existence. If that is not helping me to attain Krishna, just, okay, let me die. That's all. What's the point of that? Now, this kind of feelings has to be there. So if not there, then we have to associate with devotees. We have to hear right thing. We have to read right thing. We have to read via our mind somehow. Pray to Krishna. Krishna, help me to get to this platform. And I think that's the whole thing. It needs time, it needs dedication, it needs a proper technique to do this also.
You're suggesting all of these, you know, we need to associate with the right people, or we need to read, you know, but that kind of conviction, I don't know how that comes from, you know, just reading, you know, because we have been away from Krishna forever, you know, therefore practically speaking, we don't have experience of how wonderful it would be to be with.
Yeah, I got your point. So I have a solution, practical solution. Practical solution is, we want to have that kind of thing in our heart. This as far as my realization is, that one very powerful technique is to read the life of saints. That's very powerful. If we can simply read the life of devotees, not just from Krishna conscious world, from Christianity, from Islam, from anywhere. I mean, to say all these great saints, how they led their life, how they faced problems, and how they were mad after God, that will actually help a lot to come to that platform. Because then we'll be able to relate, you know, if these people can do, and they were like us, like humans, like in a very contemporary world. We are not talking about Prahlad and Prithu, who are like somewhere in different kind of age. That those examples doesn't click our mind, because our subconscious mind thinks, oh, actually they were yoga and a different time. But these saints who existed in this world at this time, in all religious denominations, if we read their life and we keep them in our minds, then I think that will be a very powerful technique to actually go ahead. That's what I found.
You're thinking about people who did not start off as saints, that they came to that position, right?
Yeah. All these, in all religious denominations, people are like that. Who came, they strive, they move forward, and they become great saints.
Okay, so now I'm asking you if you have any specific examples that come to your mind.
Yeah, there are so many examples. I mean, this is
so many. I'm specific.
Specific is okay. Specific, you want? I mean to say, you see, even in a Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are so many devotees who actually practice and who went forward. Like, for example, in our Sampradaya, if you talk about, let's talk about Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Srila Prabhupada says that they were sadhana siddh. And they were there, and you can read their life histories, what they did and how they practiced. Or even if they're not sadhana siddh, they acted like them. Bhakti Vinod Thakur himself, he was a liberated person, but he acted like a person who entered Krishna conscious, who practiced and who went forward and who showed how to practice. So we can read his life history. And in Christianity, Islam is full of these kind of saints. Buddhism is full of these kind of saints. In Vaishnavism, if you talk, living Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Ramanuj Sampradaya, there are so many devotees in Ramanuj Sampradaya, followers of Vedanta Shikha, and followers of Mani Plurbal Goswami, followers of Pillai Lokacharya, there are so many followers. You just Google and their life histories here.
In our Sampradaya,